Good morning. Thank you for the warm welcome and for inviting me to be part of the new adventure God has planned for St. Paul's Peterborough. For those who do not know me, I want to introduce myself to you briefly. My wife, Soon Hwa, and I have three wonderful sons. Our two eldest sons, Caleb Jr. and David, are at university, and our youngest son, Hope, will be off to university this fall. So sometime this fall, our house will be empty nest. Since November 2007, I've been serving the Lord with two beautiful congregations. One is called Knox, located in Glen Arm, and the other one is St. Andrew's, Benham Falls. Since last September, I've been honored to serve the Lord also as the moderator of the Presbytery of Lindsay and Peterborough. Some of you know that one main duty as a moderator of Presbytery is simply representative of some special event in our Presbytery, like today's venue. Most of the tasks for the ministry are done by the clerk of Presbytery, who happens to be the clerk of the St. Paul session, Janet Halstead. This position, I've been in the loop of the clerk's communications. I received tons of emails and have witnessed a lot of correspondence between the clerk and individual presbytery members, churches in our presbytery, and other presbyteries, and our denomination's head office. Janet is the one making sure that everything is on the right track, and has been doing an excellent job on behalf of our presbytery as well as of the moderator. On behalf of the Presbytery, I want to say our thanks to you, Janet. Friends, I love your minister, Jonathan. So he and I are on the same committee called the Mission and Outreach in our Presbytery. As you know, he has a big heart toward God's mission. It's not only reaching out to God's lost souls, but he's also helping some folks to become God's leaders locally and internationally. On behalf of the Presbytery of Lindsay and Peterborough, we express our best wishes to you, Jonathan, as well as the whole congregation when you move forward together by faith to follow God's leading in the next chapter of St. Paul's. The title of the meditation for today is the foundation of the church. One definition of the church we often hear is that it is God's dwelling place. Think about what a great privilege that we are here in this sanctuary on the Lord's Day to worship God with all our hearts. In our gospel for today, Jesus gives us another description of church based on Peter's confession. When he got the question of who Jesus was, he said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus was so pleased with that declaration and replied, "Blessed are you. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." According to Jesus, church is not just a physical building in which we are gathering to adore the Lord our God this morning. We can also call any place God's house. If people call together to confess Jesus as the Messiah and praise the Lord with all their strength. The worship locations would not limit God's sanctuary. Whether they meet in schools, hospitals, community centers, prisons, or even in orphan fields. The reason for this is that the church is established from the compassion of God's people who want to follow in the footstep of Jesus Christ. Please understand this. I'm not saying that we do not need a church building. God's church, called St. Paul's, in which we are assembling, was founded 185 years ago or 159 years ago by God's people who dedicated their lives towards Him. Some of you here are thankful to the Lord. Since you are baptized and got married, all your children, grandchildren, were and did in this place. And from this place, you have buried your loved ones. Some are joyful to the Lord, since you've been encouraged and comforted by the genuine loving fellowship in this sanctuary. Some are grateful to the Lord, since you have been nurtured by the Word of God, read and preached, and the prayers requested in the temple, in this temple. Over the years, God has done beautiful works through the faithful servants of God like each of you, and touched many lives of the folks in this community through samples, directly and indirectly. I've heard that there will be the time after the service of sharing some of the stories about this church that you have remembered, and I'm looking forward to them. Many of you remember a catastrophic earthquake hitting Haiti in 2010. The government of Haiti established that, estimates that about 3 million people were affected by the magnitude 7.3 earthquake. More than 230,000 people were killed, and another 300,000 were injured. 250,000 residences were severely damaged. Many perished in those collapsed buildings. Later, I heard of someone saying something like, "Most buildings in Haiti go up without engineering standards or proper inspections. The unregulated constructions accepted in their country might have added to staggering death toll." Japan shares similar physical geography with the one in Haiti. Both of the countries consist of small and mountainous islands. More than 1 year after Haiti's earthquake, a much bigger one, which was at magnitude 9.0, took place in Japan. At the time, a massive tsunami occurred as well. It was so terrifying for me, probably for those who watched that on TV, the big waves from the sea flowing into the village, taking almost everything away from where they were. Fortunately, those natural disasters in Japan damaged much less than 10% of the total loss of life in Haiti. The main reason why the disasters better protect the Japanese was their building codes and strict construction regulations. Because earthquakes are part of life in Japan, the Japanese have put a lot of effort and resources to make their houses and buildings as earthquake-proof as possible. Many religious organizations or bodies have been formed in the name of Christ. Unfortunately, some of them might be built on false principles. So it is essential for us as individual believers, as well as a church, to examine ours, whether our spiritual houses have been built on the rock, that Jesus spoke on in the main scripture for today. Jesus talks about a parable of two houses. In this parable, one develops a house on the solid foundation, and the other makes the groundwork of the house on sand. Both of them may use the same materials for their homes. The only difference between the two houses is their foundation. One is built on the rock, and the other is placed on the sand. Why did the builders choose different locations? I recently learned that in Israel, some soils appear hard, like a rock, during the period of a dry season. People would not recognize whether the land they select to build a house has hard soil or soft one. When a rainy season comes, they might be able to figure it out since the soil or ground is affected by water. That would be one possible reason why different foundations are selected. Another reason is the amount of groundwork is built in building a house. In recent years, I've seen some homes built in my town. I've seen some construction workers apply cement in the basement walls. They install heavy metal bars at the four corners of the house foundation. Sometimes they use some special equipment to make a firm foundation of buildings. They seem to spend a lot of time and effort for groundworks, even though it won't be visible once a house or a building is built. Builders know the importance of the foundation. Since preparing firm foundation for homes takes a lot of time and effort, some people might choose the sandy ground instead of the rocky one. Before we go any further, I'd like to mention that this parable is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Since the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus has shared with the listeners the important messages on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about the other two different groups of the people. One enters through the narrow gate, such as here, and the other goes to the wide. Sorry. So one group of trees bears good fruit, and the other has bad fruit. One type of Jesus' disciples is true, the other is false. Many of us, including myself, tend to think that one of those groups in this chapter would be believers, and the other would be unbelievers. However, the phrase, "everyone who hears these words of mine," is mentioned in both of the builders. In other words, both of the groups of the people here would be all called believers, since they came to see Jesus and heard of him preaching. Both of the groups follow Jesus, would want to build their lives on the word of God. But the responses of each group were different. What is the big difference between the two builders? The answer Jesus gives us is that the wise builder not only listens to the word of God, but acts on it. The starting point of having faith in God is hearing the word of God. The Apostle Paul said, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Knowing who God is and how mighty he is can help us have better faith in God. Once we hear the word of God, we need to act on it. The good listeners to the word ask questions such as, what does this word mean to me? What does God want me to do? If we want to build our spiritual houses on the right foundation, we must practice the Word of God in our daily living. Hearing God's Word is not enough. James illustrates this in a very interesting way. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. This is why we need to examine ourselves through the Word of God, the spiritual mirror. We also need to repent of our sins, not only by using our lips, but also by making a firm decision. Lord, from now on, I will build my life of faith by obeying your word with your strength. Why does this building project matter to us? Why are we to be bothered by being a wise builder? It's because we eventually face the rain and winds in our journey of faith. Here, the rain and winds can be interpreted as difficulties in life. These challenges may cause us to be in trouble or even doubt God's presence and love in our lives. Furthermore, the rain and winds can be referred to as our final breath that leads us to stand before God. The apostle talks about this in Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. In Revelation 22, verse 12, Jesus put it this way, I'm coming soon, my reward is with me, and I will give it to each person according to what they have done. One day, we all stand before the judgment seat of God. It seems to be scary. Yes, it is. For believers, it should be an exciting time for us to meet our Lord face to face and to be rewarded and invited to the place Jesus has prepared for us. The Bible said, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who honestly seek him. Faith that God exists and the Lord rewards his people is one main reason why we are building our spiritual foundations on the rock. Not just hearing the word of God, but also practicing it into our daily lives. Likewise, during the journey of faith with God, we as a church want to build God's house on many essential foundations. We tend to think that our church can be secured if a lot of financial resources is available for God's ministry. Our church can be firmly stood if we have got more attendance in our worship services on Sundays. If there are lovely Sunday school and youth programs, if there is a good size of parking lots, if there are talented people in our congregation, and so on. We need to pray that God may bless our church with all of these essential elements. At the same time, we need to remember that God's church is built on the rock, which is not only the confession of God's people, but also the Word of God. According to the Apostle Paul, the Word of God is alive, active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. God's word is like a diamond, which is much harder than a rock. The word of God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In our response of Psalm for this morning, we can also find two different foundations of the people who walk before the Lord. The psalmist says the first group of the people, blessed is the one who does not walk, stand, or sit in the way of ungodly influence. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. As we heard, the first one's life is founded like on a tree, which is planted near streams of water. The roots in this psalm can be compared to the word of God. Since this group of people is delighted in God's word, they bear a lot of fruit in any season and do prosper whatever they do. In the second group of people's belief, there is no firm foundation. They are like a chaff. When the wind comes to them, they can be blown away. Since there is no root in their plant, it could be easily withered and be eventually thrown into the fire and burned. Like the two houses built on different foundations, those two groups of the people in this psalm face different outcomes, life or destruction. King David, who has been believed to be the author of Psalm, is writing this from his own experience. You know, since he was a king of Israel, he would have said that he could be happy with the power, reputation, and a lot of resources that he got. But he said in Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, so I lack nothing." In other words, the Lord God was the foundation of his life. David built his faith on God, of the shepherd who leads him to the best way and guides him along the right path. When David founded his life on the Lord, he did not fear walking through the darkest valley. Later, he answered the question on the source of his strength. "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." With the help of the Lord, King David was able to make all of the scattered tribes united and help the United Kingdom of Israel build on God's word. If I conclude this message, I'd like to share a story of an elderly carpenter who was ready to retire. One day he told his employer about his plans to leave the business and to start a life of leisure with his wife and family. He would miss the money, but the time was right. His boss was sad to see him go, since he had been loyal and diligent for many years. He asked for one last favor, requesting that the carpenter could build one last house before retiring. The tradesman agreed, but it was soon clear that his heart was not in it. He took shortcuts, used poor materials, and put in a half-hearted effort. In the end, the final product was short of his usual standards, a disappointing way to end his career. When the job was finished, the employer came to inspect the work. After taking a look around, he handed the keys to the carpenter and said, "This is your house. It is my gift to you." You know, the carpenter was shocked and embarrassed. If only he had been known, he would have made sure that everything was perfect. So it is with us. We are the carpenter of our life. Every day we build our lives on something. In a way, not only every day, but also someday, we may live in the house we have built. To conclude, there is a big ceremony between God and the people of Israel and Joshua in our Old Testament for today. I noticed that last Sunday, the similar passage was read from the pulpit, so I want to share this part with you briefly. After Moses' death, Joshua became the leader of the people of Israel, and they were about to enter the promised land called Canaan. When Moses was leading the people, they would have felt secure due to God's presence through their leader. God has shown them a lot of miracles through his servant Moses. Since he was gone, the people of Israel might have experienced no firm security behind them. At that time, God assured the people of Israel of the real foundation of God's country. First, God promised that he would give them every place they set their foot so their territory would extend and no one would be able to stand against them. And then God repeatedly said to Joshua and his people to be strong and very courageous and instructed them to have both God's strength and courage by saying, "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." The main source for the church comes from the Word of God, who created the whole universe by his word, and God's people who not only hear the word but also live based on the word. Did you notice how the entire people of Israel responded to God as well as to Joshua after they heard of God's message? They were saying in unison, I'm going to read it to you again, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And whatever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses." They not only respect their leaders, but also they wanted to follow the commands or directions and guidance God has shown through Moses and Joshua, and wanted to make a firm foundation based on the word of God and obeying his word. Let me ask one final question. Which builder are you? Or are you as a church making the foundation of the church on the living word of God and living by his word? Today I believe God is giving the same message to you as God's people who have been in the process of moving to the new location of worship. Even if the place of worship can be changed or can also be torn down, the foundation of the church has never been changed. The greater builder, the greatest builder, God, who founded his church, gives us how to make our life as well as our church successful and prosperous. He wants to build our spiritual foundations on God's word and put them into our daily living. And then God will be with us wherever we go. God will continue to bless you as a congregation with many new possibilities through the new place of worship, the Mount, to reach out to the people in the downtown of Pure World and its surrounding areas. God will continue to bless you with abundant provisions you as a church need, as if the people of God were moving into God's promised land. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful for teaching us the importance of the foundation in our journey of faith as well as in our church. We are very grateful for helping us as a church to build your church on your living word. Since the foundation of the church is your people, please help each of us to have our faith firmed in you, our dedication toward your ministry. We believe that the Lord our God will be using each of us like a firm foundation of his church as this church moves to the new location. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.